Welcome to The Roll Down. This podcast is for people of color who need space to be known and seen, and guidance for those who are in the pursuit of justice. We are your hosts, Matthew Melendrez
and Alethea Lamberson. Welcome, y'all. Welcome to The Roll Down.
First episode.
It's here. It's official. It's happening. Here. We have a podcast.
We're doing this.
We're doing it.
We have mics and everything.
We are so official.
And you flew out to Cali for this too.
West Coast, baby.
West Coast, best coast.
You know,
Where'd you fly from?
I flew in from the A, you know, at ATL, shoddy.
ATL.
You know, not Hotlanta. Let me just make that really clear. I learned that after moving to Atlanta. People in Atlanta do not refer to it as Hotlanta. Although it does get very hot in Atlanta.
And humid.
And very,
which
yes.
We Californians humid. Don't know what that's about.
Y'all don't.
We don't know what that word
y'all
means.
Y'all don't. So when you complain about, oh, it's so hot here. I'm like, yeah, the humidity is 98% right now. I don't want to hear it. I have zero empathy for you guys. However,
yep.
I do love California. And in particular, I love SoCal. So, you know, we're central coast right now, which is beautiful, by the way. I will say that
my first time
on the 101. Yep. And I remember Matthew and I got to your house just saying, I think it's dangerous for someone who loves the ocean and loves sunset over the ocean to be driving on the 101 by themselves trying to take it in for the first time. It felt a little dangerous for me, but made it safely, praise the Lord. And we're here launching a podcast in the midst of a pandemic, which it's pretty wild to even think about that. But here we are.
Yes, this pandemic has been wild.
It
has been wild. We're in what, month 7 of the lockdown?
Times like 12 though. I mean, really, you know?
Oh yeah, it feels like 10 years.
Exactly.
I don't even know what month it is.
I don't either. It's fine though. It's fine. But it's pretty incredible. I think that we're stepping into some new space, getting to do something that we're excited about, we're passionate about. I would say really see God's hand on.
Absolutely.
And getting to do something new and getting to do it together. You know, and so in the midst of all the things that have been difficult, in the midst of COVID and all the really hard things, trying to see the bright spots in the midst of it. And I feel like this is one of them for the both of us. And so we're honored to get to be with you guys. Grateful that y'all would listen. And yeah, we'll get into more what the podcast is about. But first, Matthew, how did we get here?
How we get here.
This is a journey to get to this point. So how did the podcast come about?
Well, we were in Atlanta. So speaking of Atlanta, I love Atlanta.
It's pretty great.
I think West Coasters don't understand certain parts of the East Coast and South. And I'm a fan of Atlanta. And so I was in Atlanta. We just went to see Pass the Mic, and we were
live
there for
in
some
person.
Work. And live in person. And I think it was that episode Clap Back as a ministry.
Yes.
It was good. Yes. It was good.
It was so good. And oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was cool to go there together. But in that same week, you and I were with a group of people, but you and I were having dinner. And I brought it up to you and I said, yo, Leith, we should start a podcast sometime. And mm-hmm. I remember you're like, well, yeah, but then it was just like, how do we even get there?
Yep.
And I just remember sitting there and you and I were just, and it was kind of why, like, why did we want to start something? Why did I approach you to do this? And a lot of that has been just a lot of us who have similar stories of kind of growing up in a very particular way in a faith, in our faith development. Mm-hmm. And experiencing the church and experiencing God and the Bible in very certain ways. And just the process of deconstructing a lot of the ways that we realize that our faith, there's a lot of components of our faith that were not embodying the fullness of what God intended, or the fullness of the Bible, the fullness of who we are as we engage with our Creator, mm-hmm. and the ways that ministry, leadership, theology, honestly, has all been kind of reflecting white males.
Yeah.
We were realizing over time that we don't see our faith expression, we don't see Bible interpretation from Black people, brown people, Asian people, women,
Yeah.
And so as we were on journeys separately and our lives intersected a few years ago.
Yep.
And just the ways that we were being exposed to so many thought leaders and speakers and authors who have been doing this work for a while.
Yep.
And I think so a lot of that was, okay, we were, both of us are our own journey, mm-hmm. but there are many people like us. And
so many.
I just didn't want to be selfish with these resources and the people and our journey.
Yeah.
Our stories that have been at times a hot mess.
Hot mess.
And, but also very beautiful in our journey towards God and yeah. our journey towards what does it mean to reflect the fullness of who we are in this world.
Yeah.
And so a lot of this was, okay, there are a lot of people who are isolated. Some people have access, some who don't. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let people into the journey and then have people come on as guests who have been monumental for me in deconstructing, reconstructing the Bible and so many other things. Yeah. And so that's kind of how it came about, was wanting just to have this journey more public so mm-hmm. that others can be known and seen.
Yep.
Almost like I remember when you and I were thinking more recently about this and someone asked us, well, who is this for? And honestly, it was just me 15 years ago
yeah, same.
Wanting what I couldn't have, like, wanting to provide for those who are my age 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I hope that they can have something that I didn't.
Yeah.
And for those who are older, that there can be a sense of healing.
Yeah.
And who are similar of age and stuff like that. So that's kind of how we got here.
2 years. So
thank you for saying yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it took a little while. It took a little continued vision casting and prompting. But yeah, it's crazy.
Well, what made you want it? What made you intrigued?
I mean, I feel like a number of things. One, obviously, our growing friendship. That's huge, right? I love. And I'm so grateful I get to do things I am passionate about with people that I love, that we're running after things together. And it's people that make me better and challenge me. And you're one of those people. And so just as our friendship has grown immensely over the last few years, that's part of it. But I think for myself, as I've, you know, been in these conversations and on this journey, as you said, of, you know, and we throw these words out, deconstruction, reconstruction, which I think will be important for us to get into, on another episode, but you know, just recognizing so many of the gaps, like you said, the things that we have seen in our faith expressions and the ways we've been told this is what it looks like to follow Jesus, and actually, that's in a lot of ways, it's not true. And so, having that exposure to different people, and also doing my own wrestling, and so just as I'm in these like different conversations with people, I think for me too, it's how do I bring others into that? And how can I be mm-hmm. a source of encouragement? How can I continue to point people to people who are smarter than me or who are just farther down the road, and saying it doesn't have to be exactly like that, but we have so much to learn.
Yeah.
And let's do it together. And so mm-hmm. as someone who I'm an extreme extrovert who loves people, I'm an deep Enneagram 2. I love to serve. I love to help others. And I was even reading a post on the Enneagram just the other day and just saying like, what does it mean for me to have meaning and purpose? And part of it was continue to come alongside others and helping other people and serving and advocating for people, all of those things. And so, you know, as you continue to bring it up over the course of the last 2 years and even in the last...
I can be relentless sometimes.
A little bit, you guys. He can. He's persistent, but I feel like because we know each other well, it doesn't like offend me or bother me, and it's good. But just thinking like, here's a space that, like you said, it's ours, but we get to invite others into it. And it's not about us. But we get to share. We get to share dreams. We get to be real. We don't have to decode or code switch in this space. Like, we just get to talk. And so I think as you continue to bring it up to me over the last 2 years, it just more and more started to sink in. Like, this would be really cool, but how do we do something like that? And so I think that was my hang up, really, was we see all these podcasts coming out and it's incredible. But what does it mean for us? How do we do that? Another thing I think that got me to say yes and just dive in to this with you is, you know, you talked about the male-female dynamic of having a podcast together, but I so vividly remember when you brought up, you said, Leith, something to the extent of, it's a brown man and a black woman getting to host together. And y'all, we are not crazy versed in all the podcasts that are out there. We know there are so many podcasts we probably don't know about, but in our spheres of what we know, I haven't seen a podcast that's hosted by a brown man and a black woman. And so just this really unique and beautiful dynamic, and we get to do this together. And so I feel like those are a number of things that got me to just, finally, like I said, say yes to jump in and get to be in the space together. And so that's really exciting.
Well, even to that though, I remember when we talked about that, and even just for those who are listening, as I'm thinking about this right now, Alethea as a black woman, me as a Latino man, we don't represent and know all things black and brown or Latino.
No.
And so it's just more, I think part of the journey for us is actually something that Leith just heard from one of her mentors, but someone she looks up to. Remember what you told me about what Kemeny said?
Yeah. It's on the Blackness Embodied, one of their episodes from last year. And they, Kemeny and Michelle and Dr. Christina were all talking about their own journeys of their racial identity development. And Kemeny she made this comment and she said, there are 1.2 billion ways to be black. Mm. And that honestly was a marker of setting me free in some ways because of my background and where I grew up and am I black enough? I've been told sound white, you all these things. And so just not ever feeling like, man, am I black enough? You know, just have wrestled with that question a lot. And so that statement has stuck with me. I have shared that with other black women and other black people. There's 1.2 billion ways to be black. And because of that, like you just said, I don't know everything about what it means to be black. It's so layered and nuanced. We're not a monolith people. And so, or a monolith community or culture. And so I'm excited to get to share some of my own journey in the midst of that. It's going to be very different than a number of other black people and another number of other black women. And that's beautiful and it's good. So,
and those are conversations that we're going to be having on this podcast, the ways that we within our own cultures can be oppressive towards one another and ways that we can be shaming one another because you're not black enough. You're not Latino enough. Your Chinese isn't good enough. You're all these different good enough things that we typically can't have in other spaces for many reasons.
Many reasons.
But we want to have those here. And part of that is us even sharing our journeys of what it has looked like to step into the fullness of who we are unapologetically, unashamedly, and not feeling this need to be tokenized or assimilate from white folk, but also not feeling this constant not good enough feeling from our own culture.
Yeah.
And so both exist, and it's the tensions that we're living in.
Yep.
And so I'm excited to even be your friend, your homie, as you further discover what does it mean for you to be a black woman? And for me to bring forward, what does it mean to be Latino? And then we're also going to be talking about toxic masculinity and colonized femininity and those things, because those are other layers.
They are? That's the thing too.
Yeah, just another couple layers to add on to the complexity of who we are and the intersectionality of being a woman of color, man of color. But we'll go there in future dates. But that's, I think, one of the things I have loved about our friendship too, is there's a safety to explore and discover who we are as followers of Christ, as people of color, and as you being a woman and me being a man.
Yeah.
And there's so much within that, so much intersectionality. And that's kind of one of the things that we hope to show on this podcast.
Yeah, that's so good, Matthew. So with that, how we got here, how did we get to the roll down?
The roll down.
Yes. Some people might be able to connect some dots. Some might be like, the roll down, what is this? Where does that come from? So how do we land this name?
Yeah, so it comes from a verse in Amos 5, let justice roll down like a river. And it, when we were talking about this podcast, a big focus, we knew what we would want to be is justice. And on many levels, justice in healing, justice in allowing who we are as people of color to lead out in scripture and hermeneutics, all the different things of justice, the ways that historically, globally, black and brown people have been oppressed and marginalized. And so we knew that we wanted to talk about justice. And I think what felt so special for me about that verse in particular is part of the reconstruction and deconstruction journey is recognizing there are a lot of parts of the Bible that have been kept from us in the sense of we weren't you don't hear them preached about very often.
Yeah.
You always heard a certain set of verses, especially when it comes to how we're to act ethically and morally in this world.
All the time.
And then all these other ones, you know, we don't talk about the 92 verses in the Old Testament about immigration. Come on now.
Well,
and amongst other things, but we'll focus on like, you know, the 2-3 that says women shouldn't speak in a church. That's very specific, but that's
help us, Lord.
I try not to derail too much.
Yeah.
But Amos is one of those verses where I just was sitting there one of the first times I heard it preached. Because so much of the Christian faith has in the United States has been like we're heavily in theology and preachers, pastors, and we don't always get taught how to read the Bible with our own, like, and you know, with our own culture and our own eyes. So Amos 5 was that one of those verses that helped bring everything together. And the way I like to describe it is, you know, if you've ever been to a conference or something where there's someone, an artist who's painting and they're painting for about 15, 20 minutes and it doesn't make any sense.
None at
all.
And
they're painting this whole time and layers upon layers of paint and different things. And then the last 3 seconds, they just turn it and it's this beautiful picture. And it was like, well, there was intentionality this whole time and you knew what you were doing.
It's mind boggling.
And I think the Amos verse felt like that for me where it was like years and years and years of anger and depression and lament and confusion of my faith and my culture integrating. And then it was that Amos, it just kind of clicked. And so for me, there's a lot of, I have a lot of reverence and just a lot of connection to that verse. And so somehow wanted to incorporate it and did some, asked around different friends and stuff of what ways can we play off of this? And that's how the roll down came about. But yeah, like, and you, I know you're a fan of Amos as well.
So, you know, obviously a lot of us have, if you've ever listened to, Dr. King's, I Have a Dream speech, he invokes Amos 5:24, 5:24 in his speech. And then, you know, if you're in Atlanta at the King Center, you visually see these steps and water rolling down and you see the verse etched into these steps. And if you've been in the scriptures, you've heard about probably about Amos. Now, I don't know how many of us have actually read in a lot of ways, have read the Old Testament and, for different reasons. Right. But for me, I feel like I've just been so drawn on the last several months, to the prophets, you know, people, I feel like in the last year or two, you know, probably the last couple of years, continue to affirm me and say, Leith, you have a prophetic voice. And I remember initially being like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, that's encouraging. And then you start reading about the prophets and you're like, wait a second. I don't know how cool this is. This is hard. When you start getting pushback, you're casting vision, you're sharing things, you're calling people to repentance, to confession and repentance, and getting hit with, well, we just need to talk about unity or just reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And so looking back at the prophets, it's like, they heard so clearly from the Lord. They're bringing a word of the Lord to the people, and they're bringing it here in Amos, you know, reading through the book of Amos and in chapter 5. I love that chapter. But the way that Amos is bringing the word of the Lord to the nation of Israel, and so this nation that was so haughty and prideful and oppressing the poor and all these different things. And I see there's so many parallels to today, right? And let's just be clear. The United States of America is not Israel. I know that people seem to think that because they say it's one nation under God, which is not true. Another conversation for another time.
Well, real quickly on that note, I remember Pastor Aaron, and he comes on past the mic every now and then. He is a veteran. And he went on the podcast and said, you know what? We got to realize that America is not the apple of Jesus' eye.
Ooh.
Like, let's make that clear.
We need to make that real clear.
So.
Yeah. Again.
We'll come back to that another time.
But I just want to say that because, you know, I see the similarities. Like, what does this look like in our day? And so the thing that's infuriating is if you go back to this spring, and it started with, you know, the video of Ahmaud Arbery being pursued, being gunned down, being murdered in the street. And I started scrolling my Instagram page in those few days after that video was released. And I started seeing Amos 5:24 as captions. We love to do this. You know, Christians love to just pull a verse and we like to stamp it on a picture and with no context or whatever. And we really begin to take verses out of context in a lot of ways when we do that. And so I'm like looking at who's posting what the picture is, who's posting it, and then just stamping this verse on here. And it was infuriating to me because I'm like, I know some of your ministries. I know people that attend your churches or conversations you've been in or things you have said to people. And this was a lot of white evangelicals. And I'm like, and then here you go, because it's the thing to do. And you're just posting this verse on a picture that has really no relevance to what's happening. And this such a deep injustice. And so even just going back in just a few verses before verse 24, and Amos says, this is from the Lord. I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. Does that sound familiar to our context here in the States? Then Amos says, word from the Lord, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Yeah.
And so when I put it in that place, it's we need to talk about what Amos from the Lord is saying in the verses before, and then say, but let justice roll down. And so getting to be in a place where we're going to talk about the things that accompany the verses prior to verse 24 that you and I have, Matthew, experienced in different settings, and saying, well, what does it look like for justice to roll down? And letting this verse, in the context of the passage, anchor us and continue to point us forward. And this is one verse about justice, right? There's plenty. In our next episode, we want to talk about we see what does biblical justice look like? Where do we see the threads of justice in the Old and New Testament? But I love that this verse is an anchor for us.
Yes.
And coming from a prophet, because I think you and I both have been affirmed in having a prophetic voice, and we experience so much pushback and challenge with that. And so that's what I love about the roll down. And because every time I say it, I'm reminded, but let justice roll down. That's what we're fighting for, what we're striving after. So
even as you're describing, you're taking us to church there for a little bit, and I love that. And I think even I'm imagining those who listen, and I'm putting faces, I'm thinking of faces, our friends of color who are bleeding out right now in so many spaces. And just like, I think our hope would be, man, just listening to this, that there would be a little bit of you experience a little bit of justice rolling down into your life right now.
Yeah.
And individually, communally,
because
that's one of the things that I think that's been missing a lot in the American church.
Yeah,
is because it has reflected more one culture. It's very homogenous.
Yes,
and a culture that is very individualistic. And there's some good in that, and it works in some spaces. But for you and I, coming from warm cultures, communal cultures, collective cultures, it's not just about us.
No,
it's about our communities. It's about a collective and a community of people.
Yeah.
And so justice is not just about individual justice in our own stories, although that is something that we hope happens.
Yes.
But it's about, what does it look like for all of us?
Yes.
For you and I both, and those who listen, for all of us to be on this journey of experiencing justice. And so that I get fired up about that. So, but when thinking about those who will listen,
it's
go for it. Go for it.
No. I just, So as we think about the podcast, a couple of things that we are thinking through, and Matthew, you shared this in our opener intro there, but the two things of people of color having a space to be known and seen, and guidance for those who are in the pursuit of justice. And I love the combination of those two things, because that's what we've experienced, right? In so many ways. And so, we talk about being known and seen. I think for both of us, there's so many things that we can share where we haven't experienced that. And, I think for me, in the ways that I've experienced that, where I've had my dignity affirmed and I'm able to show up in the fullness of who I am as I'm continuing to grow. And what does it mean to be a Black woman? And how do I lead? And I'm a follower of Jesus. And so, we talk about our identities being rooted in Jesus, right? Like, yes. But I don't stop being a Black woman. I embody and I carry so many things with me into those spaces. And so having bits and pieces of that over the last probably 4 or 5 years, but it's been more recent where I feel like I can be in spaces where I don't have to, you know, run through the checklist of why I'm qualified to be in a space, but I'm understood, and I'm validated, and I am seen, I know, and I'm understood, by people, whether they fully get it or not. There's still a level of understanding. And so the joy and the freedom that comes with being in a space where we are known, right?
Yes.
Known in the way, and I think about, not in the way, but, you know, we you know, get pushed back to Psalm 139 often, and just the reminder of how intimately the Lord knows us, right? And so we will never know that depth of intimacy apart, because we, the Creator. However, what does it look like to be known and be seen by those that we're in community with? And so that's so important. And there's so many of us that are not in spaces where that's true. So it's just really near and dear to my heart in that way. And so, yeah, Matthew, I think what does that invoke for you when you hear that space for people of color to be known and seen?
Yeah, well, I think, like I said, I feel like I was on a journey before I knew I was on the journey of deconstructing, reconstructing my faith and leadership and ministry. But it was at a particular time in Phoenix, which you were at, where it was one of the first times I so tangibly and overtly experienced people who have not bifurcated justice and faith and are who we are as believers and who we are as and who God had made us and the color of our skin.
Yeah.
And it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I couldn't handle that week because I had no place for it.
No framework.
No framework
where do you put
at
that?
All for it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to categorize this. Yeah. My whole life, my culture and my faith were separated. Mm-hmm. And so to see those two things integrated, it was almost like the first day, okay, this is amazing, this is good. And then it was almost I couldn't handle it. But what I described it at the end of that week was finding a well, discovering a well that I didn't know existed, but I always needed. Mm. Finding a well that I didn't know existed, but I always, always needed. And it's like, whoa, I've been living in the desert this whole time. I didn't even know it. I haven't even experienced abundance. I haven't experienced fullness of what it means to bring all of who I am to the table. Yeah. I started realizing all the ways that I was experiencing microaggressions or being asked to come into spaces and then bring your full self.
Yep.
And really, I'm only allowed to bring 10% of myself because I either am a threat, I'm angry, I'm divisive, I'm all, you know, list off all the things that you probably have experienced too.
Yeah.
And variety of spaces. This is not one thing in particular I'm thinking of. I've worked in many spaces and lived in different cities, and it's just this continued experience where, wait, am I really welcomed? And do you really want my opinion, or am I being tokenized?
Yep.
Are you expecting me to conform to what you have established as normal, as good, as pure, as excellent, all those things?
Yep.
And it's like, well, what does it look like to be a Latino man, Chicano to be more specific, who follows Christ and is an activist? I didn't have no framework for that. And so I think since then it was, I can never go back. It's been, and it was one of those things where it was, wow, this is insane that this is exists. But also it sent me into, I think it's one of those things where just because something is so good doesn't mean it's not going to come with its challenges.
Yeah.
And in discovering something that was so good, it was years of confusion, of depression, of anger that already kind of existed, but it was just amplified because I had language for it now.
Because it was brought to the surface, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, you didn't know you needed those things. And so when you got exposed to that, it elevated all the things that were suppressed without even realizing they were suppressed. And now it's smacking you in the face, right? Because then it's like, what do you do with that? You know?
And then even just like I would find myself just like kind of remembering certain events or experiences or people, and I was seeing it from a new light.
Mm.
And so even dealing with anger that things had happened 10 years ago, or thinking about my faith development, and I remember Sandra Van Opsel said this at a conference that we were both at once, that theological formation begins the moment you follow Christ.
Mm.
And what is surrounding
so
that?
Good.
What surrounds your understanding of God and the body of Christ? What's your understanding of justice? and all those different things. And so I feel like I've been going back to when I was 15 and thinking about youth group, thinking about the different spaces I've been in. And so, yeah, I think for me, it's like that, the moments I've experienced that feeling of being known and seen, it's indescribable.
Yeah.
And I would say probably like 10 years ago, oh yeah, I feel known and seen in the spaces I'm
totally.
In.
Totally.
I don't think,
totally.
And maybe glimpses of that. And there's yes. certainly people yes. for yes. sure.
Yep.
And moments that I don't want to be general.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more global, historic, mm-hmm. you know, people of color and the relationship with the church. I'd speak to that more generally.
Yeah.
It's probably more often than not known, not seen. And so, yeah, it's we hope that people can experience that here.
Yeah, and I just want to
break
add,
it down
I,
for us more.
But I want to add to that just a little bit, because I was just reminded of it as we talk about that. You know, we talk about when we look at, you know, in scripture and in Genesis, we are created in the image of God, right? So we already have all this imminent worth, value, and dignity, right? As those that are made in the image of God. And yet we step into spaces where we're told, we don't realize it's even coded. And I would say some people sometimes don't realize that's what they're really communicating, because yeah. then you step into the space and you try to bring your full self and it's like, whoa, 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 hold on. That's mm-hmm. not exactly how we want it to be, right? And there are a number of people of color who can, and women who could attest mm-hmm. to this, right? To testify to that. And so just, again, being in a space where we're known and seen, part of that is, and the homie Tyler Burns has talked about this, but not having to defend our dignity.
Yes.
And that was something this past summer, like that Tyler, I remember him sharing about that. That really sparked me and encouraged me, because I recognized I was in a space where I didn't even realize I was doing it, but my dignity was being chipped away at in so many ways slowly over time that it just continued to build. And then finally, when I was able to step back, I was like, wait a second. I'm not getting to lead in the fullness of who I am, and I'm yeah. continuing to fight, and I'm just fighting to survive, and because I don't feel dignified in so many ways. And so I think that's part of it too, is to be able, as you and I are having a conversation, and as we'll, you know, bring guests in over time, that there's this reminder and this encouragement for people of color, as you are hopefully known and seen, affirmed in the fullness of who you are, that you can step into spaces, not have to try to defend or dignify yourself.
Yes.
Just because the space and the people and the faith and the expression of faith tells you it needs to look otherwise to be holy and to follow Jesus. And so I just wanted to share that, because I think that's important and it's been significant for the both of us. And so
yeah.
So that's part of it. And then the other part we share is a space for those who need guidance in the pursuit of justice. And I think, yeah, let's talk about that. Why is that something that's important to us as we think about this podcast space?
Yes. Well, I think because we keep saying how there's a lot of deconstruction and reconstruction in the process, and that in both ways, both parts of that journey, there's a lot that can get complex.
Yes.
And so I think in the deconstruction, I think I in general, I can see it going a couple ways. One, it just becoming so overwhelming, all the ways that we start realizing the ways that white supremacy, patriarchy, xenophobia, nationalism has infiltrated every part of our society. And it can just be so overwhelming that you just, you know what, it's better to keep my head down and keep going and just kind yeah. of ignore it all.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one posture after recognizing these things. And the other one is there's just so much anger and so much frustration and not a lot of separation of God and the American church.
Yeah.
And so then a lot of people just kind of throw everything out the window altogether. God, Jesus, the Bible. Yep. And I understand why.
Yeah.
I'm not judging that. Yeah. I understand why.
Sadly.
And I think the generation that's coming up, that's where they're starting.
Yeah.
There's so much skepticism and so much disbelief in who we say we are. And so I think those are often the two postures. And yeah. so it's a hot mess of a process and
it
journey,
a hot mess. Yes.
which we're in. We haven't arrived anywhere.
No.
But I think the reason we say guides, our guidance in the pursuit of justice, is just so that we can share some of the moments that helped us, our mm-hmm. mental health or different mentors or different things that kind of helped us in those darker seasons.
Yeah.
and our perspective and hope in those darker seasons, or just simply you're not alone.
Yep.
Honestly, I think that is probably a lot of it for most people. Yes. You're not alone.
Yes.
You're not crazy.
Yep.
And I think that's so much of what a lot of us experience. Yes. Is when we try bringing these things up, when we try having conversations about justice and what Lisa Sharon Harper talks about, not just the coming of the kingdom, but the character of the kingdom. Mm,
that's good.
And we like to talk about, you know, the Great Commission and all those things, but we don't talk about what are we supposed to look like?
Yeah.
And that the character of who we are, yeah, as the body of Christ. And so I think there's so much in that, mm-hmm, that we can feel alone in. We can feel, yeah, isolated. And so simply saying, you're not alone. That, yeah, is probably all some people need. That's the guidance all someone needs, is that you're not isolated anymore. Mm-hmm. There are so many more people, and we want to introduce you to them. We want to show you the books, the authors, the people who've wrestled with this, who are elders, who, yeah, have been walking this path for so much longer and have endured so much more, that can offer so much wisdom.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just the hope, is as the guidance and the pursuit of justice is, you're not alone.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
And I love that, just to add just a little bit to it, because I love what you just shared. But having guidance, having someone to walk alongside us, you know, again, we have people who have gone before us. And so what have you learned? You know, I think about, for myself, mm-hmm, I think about some of the women who are younger than me, who I know look up to me. They've shared that. And so an opportunity I have to be someone that can guide them, can share, here's what I've done and what's been good, and here's the ways I have failed. And here, you know, so I think about that. And so what's it look like in this context, right? Where we're trying to pursue justice, to see a more just world, to see wrong things made right. And we're in this tension of the not yet, right? Is what we've talked about. When we look at the scriptures, we see revelation, we see this revelation to John, and we see what's coming, and it's incredible. We can't really conceptually put that into our very futile minds, right? And so that's coming, whenever that may be. But we're not there yet. And so while, yes, we're in the not yet, how can we within community encourage and spur one another on, and have a way forward to point us in a direction that where Jesus is still the center and the roots for us in the midst of this, as we're doing the, like you said, the journey of deconstructing and rebuilding upon the foundation, upon the rock that is Jesus. And so I think for me, as I've seen the men and women who have guided me, who, mm-hmm, have challenged me, who've called things out, but who have sat down and gone through the scriptures with me, who have shown me, hey, the ways, this very individual surface level way of following Jesus or understanding the scriptures, let's dig into the scriptures some more. You can't unsee things, right? Like once you've seen it, it's like, wow, it's there. And so, yeah, I think about, you know, it's like this very, the very individual way of like how we've been told to follow Jesus, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And then I look at the scriptures and I look at Luke 4, which I know we're going to get into, probably get into next episode. But as I think about that, like that, I have seen that and been exposed to that because of the men and women in my life who have been on the journey longer than me to say, hey, I know you've been told this, but let's look at the scriptures and see it looks a little or a lot, yep, different than what you've been told and the ways that you have been shaped and formed in your faith. And so I know I have needed people, and I definitely need people in this whole like, oh, you're a prophet, you have such a prophetic voice. Like I need people to guide me so that I'm not, yeah, I don't become reckless with it. And I even wrestled with friends as we've wrestled with these things to not be like the people that we're calling to confession and repentance, right? Along with ourselves. Yeah. And so I need people to help me do that. And so that's, I think that what's important to us is not just to be, have a space where you're known and seen, but also we're pursuing justice. And how can we be an encouragement to one another in the process? So,
yes. Well, that is, yeah, we are excited for anyone who's listening to this and to be on this path with us to figure out what does this look like as men and women, as people of color, following Christ and pursuing justice and embodying the fullness of what he wanted when he created everything and the fullness of what we'll experience in heaven. And so my last thoughts is, I just think about what you and I have experienced in a lot of our friendships and a lot of the people that have invested into us recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my hope for everyone here is that you would know and experience that you are worthy, your journey is beautiful, and you are welcomed.
Amen. Thanks, Matthew, that is the hope and the prayer. And so, y'all, we are so grateful for the time you just spent with us. We're excited for what's ahead. There's so much ahead that we don't know, but we're excited for this new endeavor that we're on. And so just want to close our time and just say thanks for listening. Hope you guys will join us for our next episode where we're, like I mentioned earlier, going to talk more about the threads of biblical justice and what it is and what it's not in a lot of ways, as I think that can be confusing in the time that we're currently living in. And so I want to give a shout out to a couple of people. The Roll Down Podcast is part of the Chasing Justice Podcast Network. And so give thanks to the Chasing Justice Network for all of their support and encouragement along the way.
Check them out.
So to find out more, you can visit chasingjustice.com. And we also want to thank our amazing producer, Caleb Dia. You guys, Caleb.
We'd be nothing without him.
Y'all would not get to hear us without Caleb. I just want to say that. So Caleb, we thank you for your hard work and all that you do and the brains that you bring to the tech and production of the Roll Down Podcast. And so y'all, thanks for joining us. It's a privilege to get to host this space, and we hope you'll join us for our next episode.
Later.